Shalom, everybody. Shalom. The Hebrew Bible Club is now live and ready to go, ready to talk about this incredible plan that God has for us. And wow. Well, I guess nobody will be in heaven bragging about how long they were a member of the Hebrew Bible Club. I was a member for over 17. No, you were not. You were a member for maybe a month and a half, just like the rest of us. So praise God. Before I pray in, I have a few announcements to make. First of all, these beautiful degrees are ready to roll out. From the state of California, the associate degree is ready to be mailed out. They are all perfect and ready to go. Pastor Ben is going to mail them out this weekend. And all I have to do is get to his house in the morning and sign them all because...
Oh, yeah.
Is my mic on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, yeah. And so all I got to do is get to Pastor Ben's house tomorrow and sign them all so he's ready and prepared to mail them all out this weekend. So I believe he has all of your addresses. If he doesn't, I'm sure he'll contact you and try to make sure he's mailing it to the proper address. Rather you be in the United States or like our sample degree here for Michael Ophi. Sorry if I... It's Ophi, like... O-F-F-E-I, right?
Right.
And so I hope you spell it Ophi, but he'll correct us if not. And it just says Rashawn Messianic Bible College, Long Beach, California, upon the recommendation of the ministry staff and by virtue of the authority vested in Soldiers for Christ Community Church by the state of California, have conferred upon Michael Ophi, who was satisfactorily pursued the study, passed exams, complied with all requirements thereof, is granted the degree of the associate of degree in Hebrew Biblical Theology, awarded in the state of California May 1st. 2019, and then right there it says God is good. Well, all the time God is good. So there it is, huh? Yeah. So Michael, that will be in the mail to you. And we have here, I want to show you all of our graduates. Hold up. See that beautiful stack? These are graduates. Remember our first graduates, how many we had, Pastor Ben?
Four.
We had eight.
Was it eight?
We had eight. One of them was honorable.
Oh, that's right.
And that was to Pastor Jewel Jones. But we didn't have a whole stack that you could flip like cards like this. So praise God. It was a pleasure doing that. And we're definitely going to. Now, do you want me to read those names of those?
Yes, please.
The people that are graduating?
We'll want a check mark.
Okay. Messianic Bible College graduates. And Sherry, you can call me later this afternoon. First name is Sherry Alexander. Next name is Deborah Arterburn. Scott Bigala. Victoria Brando. Michael Brando. Beverly Batura, Lindsay Butler. Let me keep going here. Now, let me see here. Letty De Jesus, Brandy Engelman. Sandra Ford, Rolando Guerrero, I believe I said that right. Wow, I got pages. Here we go. Rachel Harwell, Sherry Howard, Peggy Jenkins, Barbara McMahon, Valerie Morrow, I signed hers this morning, huh? Deb Morta, I hope that's how you pronounce, Tran Mina, Kim Neg, you guys need some regular names. Kim Neg Ne Nestor. Oh, Kim Nestor. It's probably just my educational level. Here it is. Michael Ophi, Philip Binu, Pastor Gary Quick, Rajan Jitu, or Jitu Rajan, Becky Rogotest, Rogotzke, Becky. And I totally probably jacked up her name. Wait a minute. Linda Sorcy. Nice job, Linda. Stan Spence. Elizabeth Surprenant. Elizabeth Tsekiri. Tuscara. I ain't gonna tell you that. Well, you know who you are, girl. And here we are, Dorothy Williams, and also John Williams. And those are, is that the end, the last page? And those are the graduates.
We have 4.5, 5 pages of students.
Now, a lot of you, we have your grades in it, you just didn't complete all of the, enough of the material. But we had this whole list of people that started out, and that's 4 pages with lists that long. So rather you graduated or rather you participated as long as you could, and then, you know, raising kids and having a husband and doing all that stopped you from finishing, we do want to thank you for taking your time and going through the classes and learning as much. And some of you came out of the classes because you didn't have time, but you continue to watch each week and to continue to learn. So I want to thank you guys for all of the hard work that you put in. And those degrees will be out to the graduates
this weekend,
okay? And the last time we had, we did a 2-year class and we had 8 graduates, and one of them was honor mentorable, and that was Pastor Jewel Jones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sherry, if anybody on that list has a problem, Pastor Ben is the administrator, and he can do whatever he wants. So, praise God. All right. So, we want to get started, so I need to pray, because I'm so hyped about entering into this last time of God's prophecy that I'm probably feeling kind of like Enoch did, because Enoch knew he was leaving. He didn't know what day, but he knew he was leaving, and boy was he excited. So we know we're leaving. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the Lord's already said we're leaving. So, and Jesus is the one who said it. So we don't have to go by any man's interpretation or any man's promise of the last generation. We can just go with Jesus. Praise God. Let's pray in. I hope all you students and everybody in the Hebrew Bible Club should know how to say the prayer that the Lord gave to the disciples in Hebrew, okay? If you don't know how to say it, let me know. I'll send it to you by email, or I can even send it to you on your Facebook. But I think that learning these words in Hebrew is very important, because these are the words Jesus said, because the disciples said, how should we pray? And Jesus gives them a great standard of what to go by or what to say when you pray to the Lord, okay? So here we go. Avanu shaba shabaim yikadesh shemcha. Tavo melhuteke yi'aseh rotzanecha. Be'aretz ke asher ne'asa b'shamayim. Tin lanu hayom lech mukenu. Uselach lanu et ashmitenu. Ke asher solekem anachnu le asher ashmilanu. Vial tevienu l'de masa. Keim hatzilanu min hara. Kilacha hamamlecha v'hagivara v'hativeret le'olamei le'olamim. Amen. Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu tefilim lecha hayom, leazor lanu Adonai im halomed hayom, and help us to get through this study today. So we just praise God, b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, and let's continue on our study. Before we start on our revelation, the book of Revelation study on chapter 11, I want us to look at the board, because we're going to do a review why we're so excited about the coming of the Lord, okay?
Pastor Sandy, some are asking, what is the Facebook page?
The Facebook page?
Yeah, they want to know what, how do they, because we have a Facebook page, they want to know what's the, I don't know, I guess.
Oh, just go here. It's the Facebook page. All you have to do when you go on Facebook is type in Rishon Messianic Bible College, and then type in next to it Hebrew Club. Okay? And then you type it, but no separation between the word club and Hebrew. Just Hebrew Club. Rishon Messianic Bible College, Hebrew Club. And I have one teaching on there and some other things, but I'm going to start posting more past teachings before you guys caught up with us when we used to have a whopping 80 views. I don't know why I'm erasing that, but we need to go over that. So that's how you find the page on YouTube, okay?
So
RMBC Hebrew Club, no space between Hebrew Club. Okay? So we're gonna stay over here, Pastor Ben. Because this is why we're so excited, okay? This is God. This is the mind of God, okay? First of all, we would have to solidify that 6,000 years has passed. How do we do that? You can go directly to the scriptures. You can count every year from Adam all the way to 2017, and you will see that you have come to the 6,000th year, okay? If you also count from Adam to 2017, you'll realize that 120 50-year periods have passed, which are called Jubilee. So in 2017 was the 120th of those Jubilee years. Then you would say, okay, well, in 2017, from 70 years from what? 1948, the UN gives Israel the land. So Israel is granted the land. So the fig tree budded, right? In 1947, the UN said the land of the land now called Palestine now belongs to the Jewish people, and they have the right to return. So there, now the fig tree started budding. Then, of course, in 1948, the leaves came out, and Israel was now birthed back into the world, okay? And once they're back into the world, they named the land Israel, May 14th, 1948. Then we have to look at 2017 being Psalms 117. And people say, how do you come out with 2017 being Psalms 117? Well, if Psalms 48, because Psalms 48 talks to you about the rebirth of the nation of Israel, right? So Psalms 48 is going to talk to you about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And Psalms 48 is the 19th book of the Bible, the 48th chapter. It talks about the return of Israel. In verse 13, it says, when you see this happen, go and tell it to the Lador Acharon. Now, 1948, we established, even last night as we talked, is a very important, because in 1948, you have Deuteronomy 30, verse 5, 5708, verse of the Torah, which is 1948, talking about the return. You have in Psalms, the 48th chapter of Psalms, 19th book of the Bible, 48th chapter, the return of the nation of Israel. But someone pointed out to me last night, to make sure I point out to you, that 19 books from Genesis to Psalms is the 19th book, but 48 books backwards from Revelation to Psalms, making this the pinnacle point of Scripture, is the 19th book forward and the 48th book backwards, okay? So I'm talking to you about somebody who has laid out his clues and his evidence very plainly, so that we don't have to be running around with our heads like what's that chicken? The sky is falling. We can come with you with facts, okay? Chicken Little, right?
Right.
So we realize. So from 1948, you count 70, or if you got count from Psalms 48, you count 70 books forward, you're going to come to Psalms 117, okay? We're not done, though. Check this out. Okay, in Psalms 117, the scriptures divide, which means the water is dividing. We know that this 117 is a Bible code for the wedding, okay? Because Song of Songs has 117 verses in 8 chapters. 8 is a new beginning. 117 is the wedding code. And so now you have Song of Songs telling you in his 117 verses, it's all about the Song of Songs, this wedding that's about to happen, okay? Now, of course, my good friend, Dr. Berry, sends me this, which I'm like, Holy Spirit, you're just incredible. Matthew 23:36, it talks about what? He makes a proclamation. This generation shall see this happen. So he makes this proclamation. From my nativity, this generation shall see this happen. Matthew 23:36, in that generation, it did happen. 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. Then Jesus says again in Matthew 24:34, this generation shall not pass. 5:14-19, to all these things happening. Two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. That event's going to happen, okay? Now, it's going to happen when? Before this generation is over. Now, how do you tie in 2017 and 117 into the 70th generation if the 70th generation is not over until 5:19? Well, here the Holy Spirit did it. He says 23:36, which talks about the generation in 70 years, plus 24:34 equals 117, which is the marriage code. Okay, so the marriage code happens in the generation. Now, if we only take the verses, okay, verse 36 and verse 34, you would come out with 70. So 117 and the 70 are mingled together to give you what? The marriage code that happens in the end of that generation. So it's not me, it's God who's putting it together. We either have the right to believe it, or you don't have to believe it, and you can not adjust your lifestyle or live any type of way you want. But I believe Jesus. He's just he's just, the Bible says it's impossible for him to lie. And so I believe this generation will not pass that fig tree generation. Okay. So now, of course, we have Yahweh, the Elohim, Yahweh, the Elohim, 91:26:117. That's the marriage code. We have, how do we know that 70 years is a generation? Joseph's family died in the 70th year. The Bible quotes in Exodus 1:6 that in that generation, all of the family died. And that was 70 years because Joseph died in the 71st year. I don't know if this is how you spell Tyree, but I'm sure I'm spelled it wrong. But Tyree, there was a prophecy of 70 years that it would be destroyed, and it started right in 70 years. Babylon, you'll be there for 70 years and you'll come out. Babylon ended in 70 years. The first temple, or the second temple, will be destroyed. Every stone will be thrown over in this generation, 70 AD. Jesus, when you see the fig tree and come back into the world, he says, you know that this generation will not pass until this happens. Two will be in one place, one will be taken, the other one left. And I put a question mark there, which is kind of disrespectful, because I don't have to question Jesus. So I'm erasing that, and I'm going to say this is going to happen in 70 years. Get ready to fly. Praise God. Amen. All right, now that we understand that, don't send me anything that says the rapture is going to happen June 30th or August 5th, or you figured it out that it's really going to happen on Rosh Hashanah. Don't send me any of that until we prove that May 14th is not your flight date. I don't want to hear it, okay? Also, if you have gravitated to the new Scotty Clark religion that tells you that you need to follow Paul and not Jesus because they had two different gospels, don't post things on my page because you're not a part of my family, because my family follows the gospel that Jesus Christ has brought into the world. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus. Yeah. So when you stop following Jesus and started following Paul, I have no idea.
Right.
So the same Paul that said that we are not under the law anymore is the same Paul that wrote Romans that said, shall I continue in sin now that I'm under grace? God forbid. Because don't you know that him who continues in sin shall surely die?
Yeah.
If you live by the flesh, you will die. Thanatos, which doesn't just mean physical death. It means die and a eternity in Hades. Okay. So we know that. The Paul that preached to Galatians is the same Paul that preached in Romans.
Yeah.
And so even if he was telling them, you're not under the law anymore, you don't have to be circumcised, because he was fighting against the circumcision clique that was telling the Gentiles, now you have to be circumcised and keep all these laws. And he was saying, so he had to speak against that. But when he got to Romans, he said, now I need to speak against these people who have gone back to the Nicolaitan doctrine, because they think now they're under grace. They can sin all they want and still be. Now I've got to address this. So it's all been addressed in God's word.
Yes.
And the scripture says all his words, all the prophecies have been given by the Spirit of God. And no man interpretation is in any of the scriptures. So you can't say Paul wrote anything. OK. You might as well say Samuel wrote some stuff and David wrote some stuff. And I can prove to you that David was writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because David did not know about crucifixion, had not been invented when David wrote Eloi, 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 lama azavtani. Why have you left me? When David wrote that, or when it was written in Psalms, crucifixion had not even come into existence yet.
Wow.
So we have to understand, but he wrote it. That means the Holy Spirit was writing for him. And everyone in the scriptures who wrote a book, even John in Revelation, he was writing what God, the Holy Spirit, was putting in him to write, because God was under a system of making his word perfect. Okay. And they didn't know when they was writing that they were operating under a perfected prophecy.
Amen.
So praise God. And We're going to get back into the book of Revelation today. And we're in Revelation chapter 11.
Yeah.
And on our Hebrew channel on Facebook, I'm going to post some things this afternoon that I hope you take a look at that are pretty interesting Hebrew teachings. Praise God. Are you in Revelation? We prayed in. How you doing, Pastor Ben?
I'm great.
You doing good?
I am.
How are those people online? Do you have any questions, anything yet?
No, they're just eagerly waiting.
All right, I got my glasses.
Oh, got 30 minutes, Pastor.
All right, that's not a problem. Because we're going to post either next week at Wednesday at Bible study or next Thursday at the t-shirt, okay?
Oh,
that I'm gonna send to Sandy Ford.
Good.
But we want you to see the logo. We realized we never showed you the logo that won.
Right.
So we're gonna post the logo that won as I order the t-shirt and get it out to Sandy this week, okay? So praise God. Maybe we'll get everything before we fly. You still won't be able to take anything with you. That's what I heard, okay? Praise God. Okay. We read through Revelation chapter 10, right? And it says, you must prophesy again about many people, nations. Okay. Now, once John, the Revelator, has spoken about the seals, and now he has spoken about the trumpets, and the judgments that will come with the trumpets. Now, we know that there's another phase of wrath that is coming, and that's the bowls.
Yeah.
But the bowls don't come to the last 10 days of tribulation. That comes between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Those bowls will be poured out, okay? What you're going to get now is, okay, we'll get to the bowls later. He said, but I want to show you, John, some other things that are going to happen during the tribulation, okay? And this is one of the things that puzzles people. And these are the two witnesses, okay? Now, listen to me as we go, and I'll point out some very important things. It says, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told to go and measure the temple of God and the altar, okay? And count the worshipers there. Okay, now listen. John is writing by the strength of the Holy Spirit. John doesn't know that the temple is going to be destroyed and another temple is going to be built, okay? But he's talking about this temple, and he measures this temple, okay? It says, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure it because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. John is writing this, okay? And he says, now how long is 42 months? 1,260 days, okay? Or 3.5 years, okay? So now he's telling John, I want you to go and measure this because this is what's going to happen in the last 42 months before Christ returns. In the last 1,260 days before Christ returns, okay? I am reading verse 2. It says, measure the court and the worshipers there, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure it because it has been given to the Gentiles. The Gentiles will trample on the holy city. What? Jerusalem, right? For 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days. Same amount of time, okay? Clothed in sackcloth and ashes. These are the two olive branches and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth,
Okay. Now, how many vessels are in the lampstand now that we look at as a church? Seven. But you also see lampstands that have nine. So two are being added to the seven churches that are raptured. Now you have these other two that are also going to be raptured. Okay? Here we go. Or they're going to be resurrected and taken up right before their eyes. Okay, it says, these are the two olive branches and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. These are the two lights. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouth and devours their enemies. So they are powerful. Nobody's going to be trying to mess with these two witnesses, okay? So it says, this is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. These men have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. Now, do we know of anybody who in the past was able to shut up the sky for 3.5 years and no rain come? Okay? So now Elijah was able to do this, and here you have something that Elijah did that these two witnesses are coming back, and they are doing the exact same thing. Everyone guesses about the two witnesses. I believe that Elijah is one of them. Okay? And he says, these men have the power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. And they have the power to turn water into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Who did that before? Who did that before? Moses. They said, well, but Moses died, Pastor. If we go, I think I can't tell you the book. I should have read it this morning. It was right in front of me. Satan is arguing with God over the body of Moses.
Right.
Nobody has ever seen Moses' body. God pronounced to Joshua that Moses is dead. Joshua didn't say, well, where's the body so we can bury him? There's no scripture that says, and Moses was buried with his ancestors in, okay? And here's Satan arguing with God, like, okay, if he's dead, show me the body. Okay? Because Moses walked off and disappeared from sight. And then Joshua says, it starts talking, and God says, oh, Moses is dead. Okay. Moses is not, his active soul is not in his body anymore. Okay, God, where's the body? Don't worry about that. That ain't none of your business.
Right.
Okay? Now, some people think it's Enoch because Enoch never died. Okay? That, oh, he's got to come back, but it's because it's appointed man to wants to die. And then, and so they have to be, like, Enoch has to experience death. And I'm like, okay, if that's what you believe, I don't believe it's Enoch. I believe it's Moses, and I believe that it's Elijah. Okay? So, but we'll see, right?
Yeah.
Yep, we will see. Because we're going to come back. And it says here, okay, it says in verse 7, now when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower them and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. Okay, where was the Lord crucified? Right. So this is, so if they're saying this place is in Israel, why is the beast in Israel? What is he doing in Israel? Shouldn't he be in Rome? When the beast comes back, remember, The first thing he tells him to do is go and measure the temple.
Right.
Where's the temple? In Israel, okay? Now, understand this. When Satan comes back, Thessalonians tells us that he will sit in the wing of the temple and declare to the world that he is God. Okay? You can't do that in Rome. You have to go to where the temple is. And where the temple is where the two witnesses are. And this is where Satan comes and he kills the two witnesses in the city where our Lord was crucified. Okay? It's figuratively called Sodom and Egypt because of the disobedience in Isaiah chapter 1. God refers to them as being like Sodom, okay? But the Antichrist now comes back, okay? And he wants to get rid of these two witnesses who are terrorizing the earth. So God allows him, because I believe this, God allows them to kill these two witnesses, okay?
Yeah.
And so here we are. It says, now, when they have finished their testimony, the beast comes up from the abyss and will attack them and overpower them and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. Okay? Because Satan wants to brag. These men that were terrorizing us, look what I did to them. Okay? The inhabitants of the earth. Now listen to this. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and celebrate by sending each other gifts. Who are the inhabitants?
I'm going to ask you. Who's the inhabitants?
These inhabitants are Nephilim. Okay? They are. Now look. They look human. Okay? They act human. They walk around as human, kind of like Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, right? They look human. They act human. I mean, they don't. But their behavior is 100% Nephilim. Okay? So these inhabitants who know that they have no right to even be here, right? They are invading an earth that doesn't belong to them. They are the ones that are gloating over the two people that have been killed. And it is they who are sending each other gifts. Okay, because they think, oh, now it looks like we're going to win now.
Right.
Crazy people. You should have read the end of the book, okay? The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts because these two witnesses tormented those who lived on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Wow. See, I don't want to go through the tribulation, but I would love to see that.
Yeah.
I would really love to see that, but I don't want to go through the tribulation, Lord. I'm just saying that is something that I would love to watch, just the reactions of the people who see these two men of God stand up on their feet. And it says in verse 12, then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them what? The same thing they said. He said to John in chapter 4, come up here. And they went up into heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. Wow. Come up here. John says, and immediately I was in heaven, right? And around me was 7 lampstands standing on a sea of glass. Okay, who are the 7 lampstands? The 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. So what's he saying? Come up here is talking to the seven lampstands. Come up here in Revelation 4. Now he's saying this to the two witnesses. Mm-hmm. After they've resurrected from the stood up and resurrected bodies like Jesus, right? They stand up and Jesus and now everybody's looking like he says, come up here, your work's done there. Now they go up into the heavens. John is prophesying you about this event, okay? Now watch this, because this is very important. And they went up into heaven while their enemies looked on. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake. Mm. There you go, a rapture and an earthquake, right?
Mm. Yep.
And a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. And the survivors, now listen what it says, 7,000 people, okay, were killed in the earthquake. And the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. Those are people. It doesn't say 7,000 inhabitants. Mm-hmm. 7,000 people died during the earthquake. And the survivors, the people standing around, said they decided to repent, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the second woe has passed, and the third woe is coming soon, because now he's going to blow the seventh trumpet, okay? We're still in verse chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever. What do they know is about to happen? This is the end. The seventh trumpet's about to blow. We're at the end, okay? The 24 elders who were seated on the throne before God fell on their face and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, who is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Okay, now I want you to see the 24 elders. Where are the 24 elders? They're in heaven. So now John is showing you that in heaven, he's seeing the 24 elders fall down, okay? And then it says, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. And it says this. It says, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign, the nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroyed the earth. And who are they? The Nephilim. He's going to destroy them and get them out of here, okay? And he says, the gods, then God's temple in heaven was open. And within the temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumbling, and peals, thunder, and earthquakes, and a great hailstorm. Okay, now we're at the end of this other event that's going to take place in heaven. So for 1,260 days, they're going to prophesy. And now, so that means someone says, oh, I think the two witnesses are here. They don't arrive until the last 1,260 days of the tribulation. They don't get here when we leave, okay? Because I see people posting these teachings on, I think the two witnesses are here. They're not coming until the middle of the tribulation. And they will prophesy all the way up till the last trumpet is blown, because they're going up. Okay, they're going up. They're going to be in heaven with the 144,000. They're going to be in heaven. Okay, then Christ will gather up with a sickle the rest, and they will be in heaven. I want you to understand this one thing. When Jesus returns to the earth, he's coming back with who?
His saints.
All of his saints. That means the called, the chosen, and the faithful are all coming back with Christ. Okay? The called are the church, which is the Greek word for invited or bidded to come. And we took the invitation. We're coming back with Jesus.
Amen.
The chosen are the Jewish people, the Jewish believers, right? And those that accept him as Messiah during the tribulation because of the 144,000 that are preaching. They're coming back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says the angels are going to come down and gather the elect from every corner of the sky. Then he says, and the faithful are coming back. Who are the faithful? The faithful are those who keep their testimony all the way up until death. They say, I'm not taking the mark. I believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. You can kill me if you want, because now I know that we don't die.
Amen.
So kill this body if you want, they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they get this boldness? I believe, just like our friend last night, I don't think the rapture is going to be that big of a secret. I think a whole lot of people are going to know what happened, and all of a sudden going to become fanatical Christian believers, believing by faith, and they will not give up their testimony, and they will not take the mark of the beast, and they will not follow their ways, but will try to survive those 7 years. Okay? So a lot is going on during the tribulation period, and we have to understand each segment is telling us a story. Okay? It's telling you that the Antichrist is going to come to Jerusalem. Okay? But that comes in line with Thessalonians, which says he sits in the temple. That comes in line with Daniel, which says he's going to go and sit in the temple. Okay? He can't sit in the temple because they're definitely not going to build a temple in Rome. Okay?
Amen.
So we're not talking about Rome. And for all those people that says, oh, it's Babylon is America. They're definitely going to build a temple in America because they say that, oh, it's Washington, D.C. No, the beast is going to the place where the Lord was crucified.
Yes.
Okay, that's where this event is going to happen. So understand this, because Satan is not interested in Babylon or America or the London City. He's interested in what? Jerusalem, and sitting in that temple and pretending that he is God. That's his, that one, that is the boast that he wants to have. And he'll get a quick second to sit there because he says that will be the abomination that will cause his desolation. Okay? So praise God for Revelation chapter 11. And we're going to go on to the Revelation chapter 12, which is kind of something that got us all back ready for the rapture. And I thank God for that, that it kind of woke a lot of people up. But even though it woke us up, after September 23rd passed, you know what they did? Let's go back to sleep. It didn't happen. Let's go back to sleep. No, see, let me tell you, explain to you something, and then we'll shut down at this. The rapture is kind of like predicting that the sun's coming up at 5 a.m. If you go out and the sun's not up, it doesn't mean the sun's not coming up, okay? It just means it didn't come up at 5, okay? You go back out at 5:30, and somebody says, I think it's coming up at 5:30, and you go out and it's not up at 5:30, you can relax. But don't go back to sleep.
Right.
Because the sun is coming up. You understand? So it doesn't matter that all of these people have been wrong. But now what we reviewed in the beginning, there's a person that prophesied something that cannot lie, that says, now I'm going to tell you when the sun's coming up.
Yes.
Okay? And he says, before this generation ends, two will be in one place, one will be taken and the other one left. Yes, the sun's coming up.
Yes,
Okay? And so now I believe the words of Yeshua HaMashiach. I believe that it's impossible for him to lie, and that's why I have on my flight suit. Praise God. I'm ready to go.
Amen.
Praise God. I hope you're with me. If you're not, you're just not as crazy as me. I don't care. I'm not going to be like those people in the world who are not watching. Jesus commanded that I watch and pray, and I'm going to be obedient, and I am watching for the return of our blessed hope. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're
going to pray out. Go to the Facebook Hebrew Bible Club. I'm putting some stuff up there today, and I hope you'll take a look at it and enjoy it and learn some great revelations from God. Hallelujah.
Hebrew Bible Club.
R.M. Rishon Messianic Bible Club, right?
Mm-hmm.
R.M.B.C. Hebrew Club. One word. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. See you there.
And I just send it to him again.
Okay, good deal. Now here we go. Let's pray out. And the Lord said to Moses, Moses, when you bless my people, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekha Adonai veYishmarekha. Yair Adonai panavilecha vehunecha. Ye asay Adonai panavilecha. Ve'yasim l'kai shalom. Shalom, everybody. Le'itriot be'shavua haba ulai. That means maybe in Hebrew. Because if we're not going to be here next week, and we're in the sky, that's all beautiful. Remember this, you guys. Iyar 5th is the rebirth of the nation of Israel, and that's May 9th. We do May 14th because on our calendar it was May 14th. On Israel's calendar, it was Iyar 5th, which is May 9th. So either or, rather God's using the Gentiles calendar or the Jewish calendar, I know this generation will not pass until it happens. Praise God. See you next week.